Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, as the day was dawning, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled the stone away, and sat upon it. His appearance was as lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were frightened, so that they trembled and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, "Do not fear. I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come quickly and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and now he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Remember what I've told you.'" So they left the tomb quickly, with fear and with great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. Well, the great thing is that these women were women, and in Roman law, Jewish law, women didn't have any power as witnesses. And yet Jesus chose women, and particularly Mary Magdalene, to be his first witnesses that he had risen. And so, in her case, in Mary's case, it says that she'd had 7 demons, which means that she had been mentally ill. And that's why when she came and told them that he was alive, they said that her talk sounded like the talk of a crazy person. Plus, she had lived a pretty bad life. And yet, she and these women were the very ones whom Jesus used to be his witnesses. So what you see is that when you feel that, oh no, I wouldn't be suitable to do that, or I can't do this, I can't do that, like these women could have thought of, but we're women, we can't be witnesses, we can't go and tell the men. You see then that as soon as you feel that, oh no, who am I to do this, that's when God will use you. It really is when God will use you. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Peace be with you." They came up to him, held him by the feet, and worshipped him. "Fear not," Jesus said to them, "go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Well, that was Jesus' plan, and this repeats what the angels also told them, that he goes ahead of you into Galilee, there you will see him. That was the plan, that he was going to appear to them on a hill or mountain in Galilee. But that didn't actually happen. The disciples ought to have believed that Jesus after 3 days would rise again, but they didn't. They were so slow to believe. And don't forget, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's the disciples themselves who are telling the story of the gospel, which is written down in these gospel records. And I think they're saying to their readers or to their hearers, look, don't be like us. We were so slow to believe the obvious that after 3 days, of course he was going to rise again. So when you preach the gospel, you do so openly showing your own weakness and your own weakness of faith. So Jesus had planned to meet them in Galilee. But that is not, in fact, what happened. Because I think he saw the weakness of their faith, and so he actually changed that. That was plan A. But he changes that, and he just appears to them in Jerusalem. And then they go to Galilee. So you can see how Jesus and God can have different plans, but then they change those plans in accordance with our response. Like, in 40 days Nineveh shall be destroyed, but it wasn't, because they changed, and so God changed in response. While the women went on their way, some of the guards who'd been guarding the tomb returned to the city and told the chief priests all that had happened. The chief priests met with the elders and made a plan. They gave large money to the soldiers and said, "You are to say that his disciples came by night and stole the body while you were sleeping. And if the governor hears about this, we'll convince him that you're innocent and you'll have nothing to worry about." And so the guards took the money and did as they had been told. And that story is spread around by the Jews to this very day. The 11 disciples went to the hill in Galilee where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Oh, it's so sad. They were so slow to believe. He had told them, "I'm going to suffer and given them details about his sufferings, and after 3 days rise again. But even when they see him, they doubt. Jesus drew near and said to them, All power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore to all the peoples everywhere, and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. So, it's not that there's a Trinity. There is not a Trinity in the sense that people believe in the Trinity. This word is not in the Bible. But there is God, the Father, there is Jesus, God's Son, and there is the power of God, which is not a person, it is the power of God called the Holy Spirit. And when we're baptized, we are associated, of course, with God and with Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit. But every other place in the New Testament, you read about baptism in the name of Jesus. Just in this one place at the end of Mark, you read about baptism in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You notice it's in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not the names. These are not three separate gods, as people believe. This is not the case. The essence of baptism is that we are baptized into Jesus. So the context is, go and tell everyone that he's risen from the dead and baptize them, because that is a sign that you die and resurrect with Jesus. When you go under the water, that's like death with Jesus. You come up out of the water, that's like resurrection with him. And he's saying, look, go and tell everybody about this and baptize people into my resurrection in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them all things that I've commanded. So the idea is, first of all, tell people the very basic gospel, that Jesus died and rose again. And baptize them, and then teach them. And that's what you see clearly being done in the New Testament. Peter goes and gives that message in Acts chapter 2, and 3,000 people say, yes, we believe. He baptizes them straight away. And, of course, the rest of the New Testament is really the account of those people and others like them being taught all things that I've commanded you.